And welcome to the Sports Zone Radio Show on WHRU LP 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. I'm Anthony Collada. On this show, brand new show to Huntley Radio, we are going to be covering everything from Huntley High School sports, Chicago sports, as well as national around-the-world sports. A good start for us is a best moment in sports, something that we're going to start every show off. I'm going to find a moment in sports during the week that I think was the best moment. And this one for this week was the Giants' six-run, ninth-inning comeback capped off with a grand slam against the Brewers on Friday night. The Giants struggled to score all game long, and then in the ninth inning, they got to one of the best closers in all of baseball, Josh Hader, the pitcher for the Brewers. After two runs came across the score, Mike Yastrzemski, son of Hall of Fame outfielder Carl Yastrzemski, hit a grand slam off of Hader to solidify the win for the Giants and cap off the six-run comeback. This is an exceptional feat for Yastrzemski, as it is almost impossible to launch the ball out of the park on Josh Hader, as he allows just 1.2 home runs per nine inning. A wonderful moment to cap off a great night of baseball on Friday with the Giants. And with that point, we move to Huntley High School sports and a special announcement that I will also be the home game radio broadcaster for the Huntley High School football team. This is a wonderful opportunity for me. I'm excited to bring back radio broadcasting to Huntley High School football. I'm a former football player myself for the team, my freshman and sophomore year of football, and just a true passion for sports has led me back to Huntley High School and announcing their football games. Their first regular season game is going to be on August 26th, a week after their red-white scrimmage, at Crystal Lake Central. So week one, we will not be on the call, but their first home game is September 2nd against McHenry, and that will be the return of Huntley Community Radio broadcasting Huntley High School football games. Should be a fantastic season and a just overall great time. And hopefully throughout the season, we are going to be able to talk to the coaches, maybe talk to some of the players at Huntley High School, get their feelings on the games and just where their week is going. And hopefully maybe even try to get some more Huntley High School sports involved on this show. We are going to be bringing you as much as we can from Huntley High School. And then as we grow out, we head out to Chicago, where baseball has now gone to the All-Star break. And we look at the Cubs, and they are just really struggling. We knew that's what it was going to be coming into the season. They're 35-57. They did finish the first half on the right note, winning a game against the Mets to end their nine-game losing streak. But it's been tough for them all season. Their starting pitching hasn't been healthy. Their offense lacks any sort of power. They're not doing much slug. They lead the MLB in ground ball percentage. And when you struggle to score runs and your pitching is not consistent, you're going to see a lot of brutal games, and that is what we've seen from the Cubs. They have some young talent that they're trying to figure out where they're going to slot in, who's going to make this team in the future, and it's been a struggle for them all season long, and it's really tough to see because Cubs fans are some of the most special fans in all of baseball. And a moment that really stuck out to me, it was Saturday night in the second game of a doubleheader. Cubs are on a seven-game losing streak at the time, and it is the bottom of the 10th. The Cubs are down by two runs, yet you can still hear audible Let's Go Cubs chants from the stadium at 10:30 at night. And that just proves how special Cubs fans are, that despite the terrible season, despite the bad loss, despite the losing streak and the late night, lots of baseball, doubleheader, it didn't matter. Cubs fans were still there cheering on their team, chanting Let's Go Cubs. And that proves to the city of Chicago that the Cubs deserve a better team. They have the money, they have the market, and they have the fan base. Now it's time to start putting product on the field that we can be proud of. And we do have two players on the Cubs this year that we are able to be proud of, but and those are Ian Happ and Wilson Contreras. However, the only problem is we're still looking to trade away their two all-stars. Rather than investing in the future, keeping these guys around, they're obviously all-stars. They're solid pieces to your franchise, yet you want to trade them away. So it's a tough spot for the Cubs to be in. We're not sure what's going to happen there. But it looked like in Sunday's game, Wilson Contreras was maybe possibly on his way out. He's been struggling, going 4-for-44 in his last at-bats, and he got a single in Sunday's game, and you can tell he was asking for the ball. And usually this is typical for someone that achieves a feat of some sort, but this was just a single up the middle. Boog Chombi, the Cubs play-by-play announcer, joked that it was just because Contreras was in a slump. But thinking about it more, I think that it's possible that Contreras realized that that is maybe his last hit wearing a Cubs uniform, and he wanted to make sure that he got that ball. You know, he's been in the organization now for 10 years. He won a World Series with us. He's been an important part to the Cubs roster, and you can tell that there might have been some emotion there when he was asking for that baseball. It'd be a huge hit to the Cubs to get rid of a player like Contreras, a player like Happ. They're two all-stars, but with where the Cubs roster is right now, it's just kind of where it's at. And we're not exactly sure what's going to happen there, so we're just kind of in a wait and see. And as we head down south to the White Sox, they've had a very up and down season. They're 46-46. They're right at the 500 mark right now. They're third in the division. They're only three games out of first place in a somewhat weak AL Central division. The biggest buzz around the White Sox right now is the robbery of Dylan Cease not going to the All-Star game. This season, Dylan Cease has recorded 9 wins. He's got a 2.15 ERA and 150 strikeouts with an opponent's batting average lower than 200. Those are fantastic numbers from the former Cubs pitcher, now the White Sox pitcher, he runs it up there with 96, great velocity. He breaks out a very nice curveball and just keeps hitters off balance. He's been some of the best pitchers, not only this season, this first half of the season, but also the entire season, for the last couple of seasons. Pitchers with 150 strikeouts and less than 80 hits allowed in the first half, he's in some great company. Justin Verlander did it back in 2019. Max Scherzer did it in 2017. Jose Fernandez in 16, and Pedro Martinez back in 2001. So when you throw that name in there with those names as well, you can tell that he's really on the right trajectory for his career. I mean, he's still only in his second or third season in the major leagues. He's gotten better every year, and you can tell that he's got a lot of life on that fastball and a nasty curveball. Could spell a lot of future success for Dylan Cease and the White Sox. And now that's kind of the on-the-field buzz issue around the White Sox, but there's also been some reports about some off-the-field issues. And it started about last week when an MLB reporter by the name of Bob Nightingale reported that there's been a lack of player leadership that's been tearing apart the White Sox this season. And White Sox players didn't take too kindly to this. Closer Liam Hendricks immediately shot down the rumors that any type of problems were going on in the clubhouse. And he also insinuated that possibly a former teammate of theirs on the team this season has been leaking this information to Nightingale, to other reporters, to try to stir things up in that White Sox locker room. And when Hendricks was directly asked if it was Dallas Keuchel, who was DFA'd after only 8 starts this season, he had a 7.88 ERA this year, he had a 5.28 ERA last year. So, he wasn't playing well. Hendricks just simply said that he's already said enough, that he thinks that there is someone out there, you know, giving out their information. And was unwilling to confirm or deny that it was Dallas Keuchel. But when you look at the history between these players, Liam Hendricks has not been shy in the past about calling out former players. He did it with Josh Donaldson several years ago. He's always been very outspoken and not willing to let other people bash on him or his team. And then on the flip side, you look at Dallas Keuchel's side of it, and he has a history of being a bad teammate, throwing his teammates under the bus, not really being there for his team. So when you put all the pieces together, there's a lot of cause for belief that Dallas Keuchel did in fact say something, and the White Sox organization did not take it too kindly. So some back and forth there, but just adds to the distractions of an up and down season. And ultimately, that up and downness and struggles ultimately comes from their inability to win at home. They are 27-21 with the best batting average when they're on the road, but just 19-25 at home. I mean, you play most of your games at home. You play half your games at home and then half wherever else. So you need to give your fans something good on the field. You need to perform well there, because if you're not going to perform well at home, you can't rely on road victories to get you to the playoffs and ultimately where the White Sox roster wants to be. They have a lot of young talent, and you know, it's getting to the point that these are now seasoned veterans in the MLB, and it's time for them to start producing. But if you're not winning at home, the rest isn't really going to work itself out. So it's been a struggle for them at home, and ultimately a struggle for them the entire season. As we flip over to basketball now with the Chicago Bulls, they finished tied for the best record of 4-1 in the Summer League over this last week and a half. Marko Simonovic, who stood out last year in the Summer League, performed okay this summer. He had a couple of games where he really established his dominance as a 7-foot center, you know, showing that he's got another year of NBA under his belt. He averaged 15.5 points, almost 9 rebounds, and 2 assists on 50% shooting. But, you know, there were times that he would just kind of disappear or not really look to establish himself in it. His height, his size, and ultimately where him and the Bulls want him to be, which is maybe that starting 4, backup 5 for Nikola Vucevic. He needs to continue to mature. He's not going to see probably too many minutes early on in the season, but it was good work seeing him in the Summer League and play a big role. And another player that played a very big role in the Summer League, that someone that has the Bulls organization extremely excited, is their first round pick, the 18th overall, Dalen Terry. He averaged 12 points, 4 assists, 3.5 rebounds in just over 3 games. He had to leave game 4 with a slight hamstring injury. It doesn't seem to be too serious, but Terry is just a complete player. He can do it both on offense and defense. He's long and lanky, so it allows him to kind of be able to guard several positions, similar to a Patrick Williams, who the Bulls drafted 2 years ago. So this is a young player that can kind of do it all on offense as well. He's not going to force up shots. He's a willing passer. So this is a young kid that showed out in the Summer League that has the Bulls super excited, and he's going to look to compete for minutes. And I think that it's ultimately going to depend on what type of role Patrick Williams is going to play. We've seen his rookie year that he was very timid on offense, and that's understandable. As a rookie coming in, you don't want to step on the veteran's toes, but you know, you're the 4th overall pick, so you need to establish yourself as a scorer. Well, then last year was supposed to be the year that he takes the jump. However, he broke his wrist after like 8 games or something like that. So he never really established himself into the flow of an offense, into the flow of an NBA game. He started to get minutes towards the end of the season when he got healthy. But again, you know, not looking to establish himself, not looking to step on anybody's toes. There were a couple of games that he showed his flashes, but ultimately always took a back seat and was never really willing to show out. So now you bring in another rookie this is Patrick Williams' make or break year, and if he doesn't start establishing an offensive game and he is just going to be a defensive stopper like he was last year, you're going to see much more split minutes between Williams and Terry, because they're basically going to give you the same offensive output either way. But I think it's going to be an exciting season for the Bulls. I think it depends on Lonzo Ball's knee for sure. He's still having problems with it, but they're bringing him along slow. There's still several weeks until training camp starts, still months before the season starts. So there's still time there, and you get this team back after what they did last year, and there's hope, there's reason to believe that the Bulls can make a push into the playoffs, hopefully past the first round this season. I'm excited for it, and you know, and with Summer League now over, we just got to wait until NBA basketball comes back, but it should be fun for the Bulls. And as we take a break for station ID, you're listening to the Sports Zone radio show on WHRU LP 101.5 FM, the Huntley Community Radio. As we continue with national sports now, you got the All-Star Game played on Tuesday and the Home Run Derby on Monday. It is the 92nd All-Star Game. It's being played in Los Angeles, California at Dodger Stadium, a beautiful venue. I was actually out in California my last semester of college, and I got to go to Dodger Stadium and take a tour. The history is great. It's a beautiful stadium to look at. Got to admit, I still like Wrigley more, though. However, it's going to be a great venue for the All-Star Game. The Home Run Derby is supposed to have some fireworks. You know, is Pete Alonso, is he going to repeat after last year, after he won it in New York in his home stadium, or is someone else in the field going to win it? Someone I'm looking at is another former Cub, Kyle Schwarber. You know, lefty power at Dodger Stadium. Could be some fireworks. Schwarber would probably be my pick, but Alonso, I think Ronald Acuna is going to show some fireworks as well. So hopefully that's exciting on Monday and a good show. And then you got the All-Star Game on Tuesday. In terms of the MLB, you've got the Yankees leading the way right now, is by far the best team. They're 64-28, just dominating. They're hitting for power. They've got power up and down their lineup. DJ LeMahieu is still a fantastic leadoff man at the top of the order, setting the table for Aaron Judge, who, again, looking like an MVP candidate, going to get a whole lot of money in the offseason. So we'll see what the Yankees do. They've been towards the top of the standings over the last several years now, but can never really close it out in the playoffs. So we'll see if they can keep up this first half success into the second half of the season and into the playoffs. And something that I was watching when I was watching the Yankees game yesterday was a line drive off of the bat of Aaron Hicks. Went right off of Chris Sale's finger. And you can tell right away that when it was hit, Chris Sale was done. He knew it, that the ball broke his finger. The camera zoomed in on it, and there was blood down his arm. He immediately came out of the game. And it's just watching that, it was a shame to see Chris Sale get hurt like that, because you got to feel for him. You know, he's had Tommy John surgery at least once, maybe twice. He's missed the better part of the last three or four seasons. He's just battled injuries, can never really get healthy. And then he finally comes off the injured list. He makes his first start at against the Yankees. And in the first inning, he takes a line drive off his finger. And now he's probably out, you know, 6 to 8 weeks now with a broken finger. It's just, it's a shame to see that. You know, not even, it didn't seem like that long ago that Chris Sale was one of the best pitchers in baseball when he was with the White Sox. And to see him just unable to stay healthy and unable to be out on the mound is a shame, because baseball is better when you got the best pitchers out there for sure. And as we transition to basketball, in the offseason, players looking for something to do, and nothing bigger than DeMar DeRozan and LeBron James playing in the Drew League the other day, last week at this point, and they just put on a show for the fans. It's a good time for everyone involved. The stadium was packed. It's great for both teams to be playing or playing against some of these NBA stars. I mean, these are players that they love hooping. They want to keep their basketball dreams alive, but they're not NBA quality players. But they went out there, they put up a great fight against these two NBA stars, you know, potential Hall of Famers. LeBron definitely is. DeRozan should be. So, you know, what an opportunity for them to go up against those guys. And also for DeRozan and LeBron themselves. I mean, you go out there, you put on a show, you have some fun, give the fans what they want. And I'm expecting to see a lot more of stuff like this from LeBron over the next couple of years. I think we're going to get kind of an extended farewell tour for how much that he's meant to the game of basketball, for the platform that he has built for himself. I think that he is going to use every bit of media attention that he can and just give the fans one last kind of memory to remember him by when eventually he does go. I think he's still a couple of years away from retiring at least. I would expect him to try to stay in the league until his son, Bronny, eventually gets drafted, and I think he wants to probably play with him for a year or two and then maybe call it quits. But LeBron's been around for a long time, and we're finally starting to get towards the end of his career. And as a Bulls fan, who those Bulls teams went at it with LeBron's Miami teams for several years there in the 2010s, and it's just, as much as I look back and I hated LeBron then, you realize that his time's coming to an end, and now you start to appreciate his greatness and appreciate what he did for the game of basketball. So eventually when it happens, you know, it'll be nice to see him gone. You know, different players, different platforms now getting, you know, different people getting the attention. But it's, we need to enjoy LeBron while we still have him, because he will be gone shortly. And with that, the final thing that I want to end the shows with is a fun fact. And with the All-Star Game coming up, I don't think there's any better fun fact than the first MLB All-Star Game was played in 1933 here in Chicago at Comiskey Park, where the White Sox used to play. Now, Guaranteed Rate Field, used to be U.S. Cellular Field. Several name changes there. But the leagues, baseball's been being played since the early 1900s, before 1900. But it wasn't until 1933 that the teams finally got together and integrated the All-Star Game. You know, in the middle of the season, they picked the best players from each league, put them against each other for the fans. And this actually started because in 1933, the World's Fair was in Chicago that year, and a sports editor, who I wasn't able to find his name, but he had the idea to just make it a fan affair, get all of the best players in baseball together, and let them just go out there, put on a show in an exhibition game, you know? And then eventually they made it so the winning team gets home field advantage in the World Series, so they added some incentive to the game. But that's how it started at the World's Fair in Chicago back in 1933, just because some sports editor said, this would be a good idea and let's do it. And I think that is just a great origin story for the All-Star Game and for where we see ideas in sports come from. I mean, you get, what better way to draw attention to a league than to get all of the best players in one spot? And unfortunately, All-Star Games and whatnot have kind of lost their magic a little bit. You get these players that don't really want to perform. They don't want to put themselves at risk. But I think the general basis for the All-Star Games is still a very fun idea for the fans. And, you know, why not? It's one game a year you get to see all the best players. So I'm going to tune in on Tuesday and see what happens there. But That's about going to wrap up our first show of the Sports Zone on Huntley Community Radio. Our shows air on Tuesdays at 11:30 and Thursdays at 12:30. These will be weekly recordings and weekly postings. So tune in next week for episode number 2. I'm your host, Anthony Collada. We'll be right back.